Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Refractive Thinker Radio Show, hosted by the award-winning and international best-selling author, Dr. Cheryl Lentz, the academic entrepreneur. Meet the scholars of the award-winning doctoral anthology series, The Refractive Thinker, where we focus on getting doctoral research off the coffee table and into the hands of business owners who can benefit from the results. Join us each Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time for 30 minutes of thought-provoking radio designed to discuss emerging topics in higher education and business. We will meet today's industry thought leaders and college professors leading the way. Details can be found at www.refractivethinker.com. Now, here's your host, Dr. Cheryl Lentz.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Tuesday. It's 9 a.m., beautiful day here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm Dr. Cheryl Lentz, the academic entrepreneur, and I'm thrilled to be able to work with you this Tuesday morning because I have some intriguing topics to talk to you about. The challenge we've seen in the wind, as I like to say, is the difference between the what and the how. As you know, I'm both an academic professor, college professor, university professor at several universities, as well as a business owner. And I'm seeing these 30,000-foot view of the difference regardless of whether you're in industry, whether you're in academia, of the challenge between teaching the what, teaching the theory, teaching the concepts, teaching the understanding versus the application, the how. Many of my students have, as well as myself, struggle with the idea, for example, of having poor leaders in their organizations. And they all lament, as I did once and still continue to do, were they absent the day they taught leadership? And I used to think so, because I would see all these impressive I love me walls since my first book, The Golden Palace Theory of Management. And I'd see these impressive I love me walls with certificates and diplomas from Ivy League schools, in fact. Their followers, their employees, their team members, their staff, didn't have any good things to say about them because their leadership was so poor. That these had impressive degrees where I know leadership is taught as either part of or separate classes. And I used to think that maybe just skip school that day. However, I'm convinced now that many of my students included, they'll know the 60 or more definitions of leadership. Perhaps they'll even be able to understand the distinction between leadership and management and be able to offer equally as many management distinctions and definitions. But what they lack is what to do with that information. I just finished exams at one of the schools I teach for, and many of the students struggled in the multiple choice exam. And I'm convinced that the reason they struggled is because they were expecting a typical multiple choice exam that they would have had in their undergraduate days, which, according to Bloom's taxonomy, would be a, here's the definition, here's the word, here are the choices, pick one, as if it's a very concrete, the definition of situational leadership is A, B, C, or D. Now, the challenges become as they go up into grad school and doctorate school is we're no longer interested in definitions. We're no longer interested in testing knowledge, we being the universities, we being your faculty. We assume you already know that stuff. Our point is to be able to, can you apply it? And so the multiple choice exams just completed were more of the process, the application. The assumption is we already know that you know about definitions of the law. For example, it's my law and ethics class at Embry-Riddle. We already assume you know case law, terminologies, case precedents, the definition of ethical theories. The questions on the exam to include the essays are more of a, can you apply what you've learned to demonstrate that you've learned it by using the application of not just what it means, but how you would use it. And so in this class in particular, we look at scenarios, things you might take from the headlines. You know, a certain case happens and you go to court because the two sides can't agree. And so the idea is to explain and present your case to the court that says, well, here's the case law, here's the history of how it's been applied to cases in the past, and here are the ethical principles that are in play. and then we look at making your case to the court. And so the idea of Bloom's taxonomy in this case, particularly for the exam, is the how, not the what. We universities at the graduate and the doctoral level assume you understand how to learn. We assume that you understand the what, the definitions. What our goal is to step it up through Bloom's taxonomy and the ability to show me what you've learned through application. Show me what you've learned by being able to take this information out of context and put it into an appropriate application in a scenario, particularly in this past exam. But even at the doctoral level, the challenge often becomes is the students will go through the entire doctoral process in their classwork. Typically, most universities, at least the first year, you'll have your doctoral level classes. And most students can do fairly well in that environment because we, the faculty, we, the university, are still providing the structure, the what, if you will. Here is what is due every week, and we're going to even potentially craft the how. Every week you have an assignment due. Every week you have discussions either in class or online. And so there's a structure and a very clearly defined process. Where many doctoral students miss the mark and struggle is when their class is finished. And now the main event is a doctoral dissertation, whether a 3-chapter doc study, a 5 or 7-chapter dissertation. We now give you the tools and expect you to apply them. We are giving you the what. Here is the rubric. Here is the template. Here is the assumption that you'll have retained what you've learned throughout the years of classes. Now you have to create a research study to demonstrate you understand what this means, that you can demonstrate through action, through application, that you can complete a doctoral level study. And what some students fail to connect is the dots between what we taught you in class, the strategies as well as the content. And now we're turning you loose because now your doctoral chair has really turned the corner in terms of the structure of the relationship, the nature of the relationship is different. As a doctoral mentor, I'm no longer really your teacher. I become an advisor. I become in a position of influence based on the level of action you've taken as a result of your progress forward. Only when you have finished certain milestones do I need to engage. And so it becomes you, the student, are in charge. But here's the challenge that many universities are finding, and I know many business owners are finding the same problem, is the challenges are we expect that you learned the what. We also expected that you already had the how. Students lack the how. As I mentioned last week when we were talking, is I remember making a real smart aleck remark when I was in my undergrad at the University of Illinois, thinking, gosh, you know, if somebody would have just spent time teaching me a system, a process, a how to go to college class before I ever started college, I wouldn't have taken until my spring semester senior year to figure it out. Now, granted, it was helpful in my master's and in my doctorate, but going to school at the undergrad level is very different than going to school at the grad level, much different than going at the doctoral level. And so I struggle with many of my students who we expect, we at the university, we as your faculty, we expect that you know how to write. We expect that you know how to manage your time. We expect that you understand the process and that you have your own how. And unfortunately, in my experience as a college prof for 16 years, that's a bit of an erroneous assumption for many students. And that's where I have formed quite a nice business as a result of helping students figure out the how faster. Because many students are very reactive. They go to school, they check the box, they do their paper at the end of the week, and then they do it all again the next week. Some will figure out a Meyer system, meaning that they'll have a habit of, well, I go to school on Mondays and Wednesdays, and I write my papers on Thursdays and Fridays, and a bit of a Meyer system. What they need to do is figure out the 30,000-foot view of what am I doing and why am I doing it and how am I doing it, and to create a system. Because if you'll see some of the books that I've written, Effective Study Skills comes to mind. Now, you can go to the YouTube channel, you can go to my blog, dissertationpublishing.com or youtube.com, drcherylynch.com, and either one of those will have a process. There's at least probably 15 videos, 10 of which are in our own little ebook, Effective Study Skills. And there are talk about creating systems to take a multiple choice test, creating a system to take an essay test, creating a writing system, creating a research system, creating a time management system. As we talked last week about a systems thinker, a systems thinking, Peter Senge, is simply a how system you're going to do something. And most people are very reactive and we focus on the what, which is what our original conversation was, is our frustration with, I think people go to school and they understand the what, or they can eventually understand the what. You know, they'll take notes in class, they'll understand the definitions, they can regurgitate the definitions back in the test. But as we start stepping up Bloom's taxonomy, we change the focus of, at the undergraduate level, I'll ask you for the definition. At the graduate and the doctoral level, I will assume you already know the definition and ask for the application. And many students struggle with that because they don't realize their test-taking strategies has shifted. I'm not asking you the what. That's undergrad. That's high school. Grad and doc is application. Demonstrate you know by taking a concept out of context in a different situation that you can apply and use it. And this is where many fail, in my opinion, particularly when you're looking at very few of my students seem to have really quality experiences with their leaders or their bosses. And they struggle going, well, how can they have gone to school and have a undergrad, master's, and a doctorate and not get it? And the answer is, I don't know. But my fear and my suspecting theory is that it's a very specific difference between the how versus the what. Even if you went to school and you understood the what, apply it. And here's where my title as the academic entrepreneur comes in. I believe our role as faculty and as trainers, let's put in the business world, is to prepare the workforce. And in preparing the workforce, we're looking at fundamental skills, foundational skills, such as thinking, critical thinking, and refractive thinking. I'm not here to tell you a prescriptive solution that if you find situation A, that this will be the answer for situation A each and every time. And that's what many students are looking for. Situations change all the time. And so what I'm trying to do is to have you those foundational skills, the application of can you think, critically think, and refractively think. If thinking is inside the box, critical thinking is outside the box, refractive thinking is beyond the box. Trying to be able to create systems and to look at existing systems and to see if they're actually working. And so, again, we go back to businesses and university. We expect you to know the how and the what. But I'm finding that very few universities teach the how, particularly. For example, in my graduate classes and my doctorate classes, I expect that you know how to write at those respective levels. I am not hired by the university, theoretically, to teach writing. However, teach writing, I do. Out of necessity, because I see such poor writing and poor application of critical thinking and analysis and synthesis and all these skills that we expect to have as part of teaching the content. If I'm teaching a marketing class, I as a faculty would like to teach marketing. However, in some classes, if maybe 50% I'm teaching marketing, and the other 50% I'm teaching how to write about marketing. And a lot of things in my doctoral classes in particular, ideally, we're hoping to increase your writing prowess and acumen as you're going through the program. But many students don't understand that process. They think of it as a very concrete, this is what I'm doing in these 8 weeks. And they don't see how these 8 weeks connect to the overarching goal of your classes are leading to the end result of you writing a dissertation. Every class, every time, has a what and a how component. It's purposeful, it's intentional, to be able to get you through to understanding what you need to do so by the time the classes are over, you should be able to do it. And many students remain ADD because they fail to make these connections. And we as the faculty And I know a lot of my students come to me, and I get these raving reviews all the time of students going, wow, you're one of the few faculty who've connected some of these dots, who's put these things in context, who gave me the ideas of why I'm learning these things. Because if we go back to Knowles in the 1950s, Knowles realized there's a difference between pedagogy, teaching children, andragogy, teaching the adult. Teaching the adult requires a bit more finesse because adult learners want to know, why are they doing something? I used to hate busy work. I mean, don't do something simply because I have to check the box and an assignment is due, which is many students thinking. I struggled with one student in a recent class. It took me 6 weeks to be able to get his attention, to be able to show him why we were doing something. We were doing annotated bibliographies in the classroom, and he was looking at the concrete, what is an abstract. I was looking at it, how do you use an abstract? And he couldn't quite grasp, because I kept correcting his ABs to be able to give him ideas like, well, here's the reason you use it. If we use the reason and use an outcome-based approach, you start at the end and you work backwards. The whole idea of using ABs is not to get masterful at using ABs, annotated bibliographies. The goal is so that you can integrate these annotated bibliographies directly into your doc study. And a lot of students fail to understand that connection. They see the, okay, this is what we're doing, and so I'm going to master ABs, but the whole point isn't mastering ABs, because ABs are not something you're going to use in your lit review in terms of, there isn't a section called annotated bibliographies. Using annotated bibliographies is simply a strategy, particularly in how to create synthesis and using multiple sources for your lit review. And so many students struggle with, well, we're requiring a lot of these strategies. Not because we want you to get good at the what, we want you to get good at the how. Because if you get good at the how, particularly using annotated bibliographies, you can eliminate perhaps 4 or 5 steps and directly go from understanding your research, crafting a research system, to directly integrating that research directly into your literature review without having to go through all of these minor steps in between. Saving a lot of time, saving a lot of stress, saving a lot of rework. And this was what I struggled to communicate to the student. Is their idea is looking at, well, I need to master ABs. It's like, tell me where in your literature review you're going to use the AB exactly. There isn't a section called ABs. The ABs is a means to an end, a strategy, a how to help you craft a system for what you do with what you, when you find research. But you have to put at least 60 sources in a literature review. And for those of you at the graduate level, when you're doing a capstone, it's the same thing. It's just a smaller version. Capstone study is merely idea of conducting a mini research study to help you address questions at a more sophisticated level than just writing a simple paper. So you're taking all of the classes you've done and a culmination of a final capstone assignment, again, ideally assessment, to be able to show your faculty what you learned. And this is a wonderful writing tool to be able to help you do that. But unless you're really paying attention and understand the system, many students miss the mark in this area. And then this is why they take 4, 5, 6 years, myself included. It took me 4 years, 3 months to earn my doctorate. But it was a very difficult journey, even though I knew some of the processes that I figured out, remember, spring of my senior year in undergrad. But the challenge was is that when you take it up a few steps in the doctoral level, it took me again having to redo my processes. And I must admit that I'm not sure I completely understood them as well until I became a doctoral chair myself. And that was way beyond, many years beyond my original graduation. It took me a little while to grow into my doctor title. Had I hired a coach, as many of my clients do, maybe I too might have graduated. Like, I have 3 students who graduated in less than 18 months at Walden University with their doctorate degree in DBA program. Why? They were very good at listening to me in learning how to do their how. Oftentimes, they struggled. They didn't always understand everything I was asking them to do, but they did it anyway, and then the understanding came. And once the light bulbs turned on, they were able to understand how quickly they moved through the process when they understood that it was more about the how than the what. They already spent years in the program, if not more, learning the what, the theory, the conceptual frameworks, the methodologies, the content, all types of designs. I mean, every class is purposeful when it comes to adding one more step into the doc process. But what many students don't realize that unless they have the university being in charge, meaning the university being the project manager, setting the structure, setting the framework, setting the expectations, setting the weekly deliverables, many students miss the mark because they aren't able to create the structure themselves. And normally, with many universities, once you finish your classwork, universities will just turn you loose. You'll have a chair. The chair will give, or the university will provide the template. They will provide the rubric. They will provide examples that are already in the ProQuest database and say, this is what you need to do, now go do it. You've been taught how, you've been taught the what, now go figure it out. And then many students look at them with a blank stare going, you got to be kidding. And we faculty have the expectation that we spent you years in training that you would have picked up the how, and many students don't pick it up very quickly or at all. And so I have many students that will hire a coach, whether me or someone else, early in the program, maybe 6 months in, and then I'll finally work with them to be able to hone these strategies, manage these systems, create the how that works for them, so as they're completing the rest of their coursework, they're completing their doc study or their dissertation along the way, and being very efficient. Imagine if all of the work that you planned on a strategy as you were going through the doctoral program, you were writing your dissertation right along with you, but every time you did something for class, you killed two birds with one stone and did that same something that managed to support what you were doing in your doc study or your dissertation at the same time. Had I had that strategy in place, I waited until I was done with my classes. I was kind of dinking around with it, I guess you could say, but I ended up writing my dissertation twice simply because the first time I thought the rubric and the template was a nice to have and a little bit of a guideline if you wanted to follow it, instead of a, no, this is a requirement, thou shalt follow it. And as soon as I figured that one, I realized I was doing a lot of it wrong and just had to rewrite the entire thing. And had I followed my mentor more closely and had a system in place from the time I started, I probably could have shaved at least a year, maybe a year and a half, and maybe graduated in 3 years instead of four. Again, three of my students, one of them graduated in a year, the other two, year and a half, simply because it's focused learning. They were very motivated. They knew exactly what they needed to do and how they were doing it as every step of the way. And here's the big thing. As an experienced chair, I've now graduated more than 22 students ago, or so, they were able to accept direction, lose their egos, and trust me that I had their best interests at heart, even when they didn't necessarily understand. There's one student in particular who fought me the first year we worked together. She's one of my favorite students, graduates now. She's doing very, very well. I'm very proud of her. But she knows how much difficulty she put me through simply because she had to question everything. She just couldn't accept that even though she didn't understand it, that she would just say, okay, I'll do it. I don't get why, but I'll do it. And as soon as she did, she turned a corner, and her progress came so much more quickly then. And it was such a metaphor because I had to help teach her the how. I had to help put it in context for her as what she was doing and why. And I wish I could tell you exactly what I said and when I said it. A lot of it is probably redundancy and reinforcement, and others saying exactly the same thing I did. And then one day the light bulb just turned on, and I could hear the, oh, and then I could hear the, oh, and then it was, oh, now she got it. And so a lot of my students, present and future, as I look for a way that I don't think we at the university really understand, we expect the how, we teach the what. And in a lot of my classes, particularly in the last, oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, maybe longer, I've spent a great deal of time also teaching the how, particularly for those students who recognize its importance, recognize that if they follow me and lose their ego and understand there's really purpose in everything I do and it isn't to annoy them, and it's more than just a grade. I don't know if anyone's ever asked me for my GPA at the doctoral level. Because everything was a means to an end. It was very Machiavellian. and that everything that I was doing, it was done with purpose. That every skill that I was learning in every class was merely a stepping stone, a building on the next, because it isn't always a linear process, meaning that I can't do C unless I do A. It's probably more of a circular process. But there are certain things that are sequential, that if you don't understand what an annotated bibliography is, you don't understand what synthesis is, you're not going to be able to do your lit review. If you don't understand method and design and some of the what in theory, writing the dissertation or crafting it, creating it, structuring it, it's going to be very difficult. And so my advice to both students and universities, as I continue to work with both, is we faculty have to do a better job of teaching the how or having the university somehow integrate the how, because the students are missing the mark because they lack the how. And yes, I understand that if I'm teaching a marketing class that I should be spending 80 to 90% of my time teaching a marketing class. But if the students can't write, if the students don't know APA, if the students don't know quality grammar, synthesis, and all these other things that make a quality paper, be it at the graduate level, the doctoral level, they're not going to be able to do the how very well. Their assignments are going to miss the mark, because they just want to check the box, they want to get their grade, they want to move on, they want to get their degree, and then they want to go and seemingly get promoted. But the business owners are looking at it going, you know what, it's not about the grades. It's about the skills you learned while you were earning those grades, where grades are supposed to be an indication that you mastered those skills. I'm not convinced that grades are really functioning at that indicator that many business owners and faculty and students. A student will think they're an A student and get to the doctoral process and fail miserably because they can't see how to connect the dots or to connect those skills that they've learned for the last few years in order to write the dissertation. And so I really would like to challenge students to think more systematically, think more systems. How are you doing this? How are you managing your time? How are you mastering the things that you're doing? And how do you think they fit into the whole reason we're asking you to learn them in the first place? The end result, the doc study, the dissertation, the writing, the publishing, because it's all part and parcel. I can't teach marketing if you can't write. I can't confirm learning if you don't have the strategies to take a test. And so a lot of teaching that I've done in my classes is learn how to take a test then if you struggle, because I do very well at an essay test, but there's a strategy for that. I did very poorly at multiple choice classes, so I took a class on how to take a test, and I went to the library, and I took all of these, you know, books out of the library that taught me the psychology, the structure, the methods, the strategies, and how to take a test, where content wasn't it was part and parcel, it went together, but it wasn't only about content. And I don't think many students, myself included, wanted to spend the extra time. I often tell my students, go take a class in library science so that you know when you start your research, you're using the strategies, not learning the strategies. Because it's really frustrating to try and figure out how a computer indexes information that's in the libraries now. Very different than when I was going to a brick-and-mortar library in my junior high and college days. And so if you spend a little time on the front end investing in the how, when I was doing the research, then I knew how to do a Boolean search. I knew how to do the indexing. I knew how to do content analysis. I knew how to use all of the resources that were in there. So when I was doing my research, I was very efficient, very effective, very quickly. So as we bring another radio show to a close today, I want you to think very carefully on the importance of the how versus the what. Most students focus solely on the what. Many faculty teach the what, because we expect the how. But guess what? The universities expect us to know how to teach as well. And yet, most, especially if you're a new graduate, and unless you're in EDD in the education world, we don't teach you how to teach. When you graduate with a doctorate, you're going to be a subject matter expert in that field. But just because you've completed your doctorate doesn't mean that you're well-versed in how to teach someone else to do it. And so the university doesn't necessarily teach the faculty how to do the how. We learn that along the way. And now, many years past my earning of my doctorate, I've learned the how. And now I'm sharing it. So I want you to spend a few minutes this week in reflection on thinking your way to success, as we always do, but thinking your way to success, really reflecting on the how versus the what. I think you'll find that as you put systems in place, the how will become far easier, as will the what. Again, my name is Dr. Cheryl Lentz. I'm known as the academic entrepreneur, and I'm thrilled that you continue to join me each and every week, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Thank you so much for joining me. And if you need additional help, make sure that you check out my blog, dissertationpublishing.com, my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Dr. Cheryl Lentz, and my personal website, drcherylentz.com. Until next week, keep thinking your way to success. Bye now.